In our divided world, sports are supposed to be our connective tissue, right? That brings humanity together. We're talking about global sport and the pain points of the Winter Olympics on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's get a look at our winter member drive that is underway at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Molly Stenz. Hi, Molly.
Good morning, Kate.
And our goal in this drive is to make sure that everyone keeps getting their favorite programs like The Morning Show.
And your gift of any amount is so important because it's your support, yours, that provides the largest piece of funding here at WPR. You can give now at WPR.org or give us a call, 888-202-2552.
And last hour, we heard from 23 donors. Thank you so much to everyone who gave, and we keep up with our goals. Our goal this hour is to get 20 gifts in the door.
We can do it with your help. Help pay for the programs you rely on every day when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you look at the mix of funding for WPR that keeps it afloat, federal, state, tax dollars in the mix, but voluntary listener contributions are actually the biggest piece of support for WPR programs.
It's you. It's you and you and you and you. You make the difference. You make the quality, the variety, the independence of our programming here on WPR possible because WPR matters. If it matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to. You can do that online, WPR.org, or call us 888-202-2552.
And a huge hearty thank you to everyone who's contributed today. WPR is listener supported, listener powered, and it means your gift keeps Wisconsin Public Radio the strong and reliable station that you depend on day in and day out. You decide the amount, for instance, $10 or $20 a month, and your support goes right there to listening at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Silke Schmidt. I am originally from Germany and we've lived in Madison since January 2012. For me, radio is really a way to get information. In general, I just really enjoy the variety. I feel like, especially if you're a newcomer to Wisconsin, listening to WPR is just a really good way to be introduced to the state.
Make your contribution today because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click donate.
That's right. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Molly Stenz. Listener support, it is the biggest chunk of funding for the WPR programs that you love. And that is why your support during this winter member drive is so critical. Maybe you set your gift at $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And we know your time is important, and that's why we make it easy for you. Giving to WPR, it takes just a few minutes. We'll just ask your name, basic contact information, how much you like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Super quick. It's easy to do, and your gift right now, it makes a difference. It really helps. So take the next few minutes to support WPR. Support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Kate, we've got, 50 minutes left in this hour, and we are looking for 20 more people to join in this hour. Will that be you? You make WPR possible when you give, and you can do that at WPR.org or call us 888-202-2552.
And you can support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the 2022 WPR t-shirt. Give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. So easy to set up. You can make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account, your credit card. You can do that online, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552. Provide that reliable support for the programs you love.
We heard from Dominique in Wisconsin Dells, says, now more than ever, we need good journalism, the straight facts, and a little light. Thank you, Dominique. Elizabeth in Suamico joined in and says, WPR has been my portal to calm and sane information during the pandemic.
Amen.
Yes, wonderful words. Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks for your support. Now to the Winter Olympics and politics infringing on global sport. The International Olympic Committee insists that politics and the Olympics don't mix. We heard President Thomas Bach appealing to all political authorities across the world in his speech at the opening ceremonies. Observe your commitment to this Olympic truce, he said. Give peace a chance. Are you watching? What do you make of the U.S. diplomatic boycott? What about banned substances and their effects on these games? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Lee Eagle is a clinical professor at New York University's Tisch Institute for Global Sport. Lee, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. Great to join you.
Good morning. Well, before we talk politics, let's talk eyeballs. Viewership is down. We've heard about that, or heading to a historic low, I think, as Bloomberg called it. What is going on?
Yet there are all sorts of interesting headlines being written. Fun headlines, though not so fun for the International Olympic Committee and some of the media players as viewership goes down. And now, on the front end, there are probably a lot of looks to just about how people consume media in general, that it's not so much around a television set anymore, although don't mention that to anyone with the Super Bowl. It's not so much around a television set anymore. It's everyone on their own devices. But even the streaming numbers appear down, and that says probably a lot more about Olympics and Olympic broadcasting and how the stories are told around the Olympics now than they used to be. And certainly around that, changing interests that people have over time.
I would imagine NBC as well is having some heartburn over this, you know, paying the IOC nearly $8 billion to broadcast the Olympics through 2032. What do you do if you're NBC?
What do you do if you're NBC? There's the great question. I guess that's the multi-billion dollar question, because as you said, there's a long-term deal. And by the way, it's there are also sponsors and advertisers who are in the mix that NBC is responsible to, you know, for the terms of the contract. So that really is the question. There's a lot of thinking going on for sure, and a lot of discussion going on not only at NBC but throughout media landscape about a number of things, including one, how people consume media. Yes, number one, that's simple to think about. It's a simple concept. It's clearly not so easy to figure out. Another piece of it is the storytelling around the Olympics, not only the individual athletes or the teams, but also around the host nations, really just about how, again, sort of a third but different piece, which is really just about how people consume information, what they're interested in. And I think a question to look at is, you know, in a way, do we now have too much access to the storylines? Are they too frequent? Are we paying too much attention on a daily basis or a frequent basis? So by the time these stories come around, there's just some less interest than there used to be.
Kind of some of that saturation.
Every 4 years, these stories would pop up and we pay attention. Now it's, you know, every 4 hours, sometimes 4 minutes.
Well, and these athletes and these journalists are operating this closed loop, which I would imagine is really stressful, worried about your next COVID test, worried about isolation centers, worried about your phone, your freedom of information, speech. There's a lot there. That's quite a juggernaut.
It is. And that's, you know, that's the Beijing bubble, and it's not the first Olympics bubble. There was one in Tokyo in 2020, which actually is, most people know, turned out to be 2021, pandemic delayed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are all sorts of there are all sorts of things going on in this bubble, which is kind of interesting because the Olympics, even before COVID, were kind of their own bubble anyway. It's, you know, it's a 2 week long festival of sport and Olympic spirit that is its own thing every 4 years for the Summer Games and every 4 years for the Winter Games. And it's 2 weeks of full on focus to what's going on in and around that host city and the venues. But now we've seen them certainly the past couple of years start to look something different. And of course, every host city is unique. The good things, the tough things, and otherwise. So Beijing certainly presents a really interesting host city at a really interesting time, probably in the history of the Olympics, but also clearly in human history.
I would imagine, too, the lack of fan attendance in COVID doesn't help the situation either.
Another great point. If we learned anything about sports and fans during the pandemic, it's that sports without fans really leaves something missing. It's a big hole. And you can, it's not only for the in-stadium experience, it's certainly for fans who are watching from wherever they're watching and whatever device. Fans are as much a part of the action as the athletes and the venues. So any athletic competition, any sport competition that that doesn't include spectators leaves something to be desired.
New York University's Lee Eagle teaches and writes about the people and organizations shaping sports across the world. We're talking Olympics, and we'll continue this conversation ahead on the Ideas Network. We're looking more closely at the connection between global sport and nationalism, the mounting political tensions around these games here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's get a read on our winter member drive that is underway at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Molly Stentz, and we're here to say you count on the Ideas Network for these great discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these conversations possible each morning. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Kate, we're looking for 8 more people to join in this hour. We've got 40 minutes left to do it. We can do this, totally. It's your gift that will make the difference, because when you give, you are supporting programs that you rely on every day.
And thank you so much if you've already given, and if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Need another reason to give? Well, this on this program right here, you hear policymakers, you hear politicos, they're answering questions on all sorts of topics, a wide variety of state issues, national issues, this morning, international topics.
And case in point would be Mondays on the State Capitol Report, where we cover legislative sessions and state elections, budget issues, state Supreme Court. We hear directly from lawmakers, and we bring you hour-long book conversations with authors who take us deeply into the issues of our time.
We cover a lot of ground every week. And one thing that's so important is you. You are a part of it. You're a listener. You're a caller. You're a contributor. You can support this valuable source of information, all of the access that you get to all of the interesting guests and conversation. It's your gift that makes it possible. WPR.org or 888-202-202.
Close the loop, as they say. Make your donation even easier when you do become a sustainer. Choose an amount that's right for you, say $10 or $20 a month, and have it charged from your bank account or credit card.
Becoming a sustainer is quick. It's easy. Your monthly gift just continues year after year, so your support is always current. You hear the drives and you know, I've given, I've supported, I'm a member, I'm a part of this. You can make that gift right now. You can start today. WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's such a powerful way to support the WPR programs that you love.
This member drive supports the programs you love in style with the new WPR t-shirt. This super comfy light blue t-shirt will showcase your love of Wisconsin's nature and WPR. It'll be your new favorite way to show off your WPR pride. Ask for yours when you give $12 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Molly Stentz. Your support during this winter member drive, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And if you're like me, you support the things that make life meaningful. And Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things. You get information about events in the region, the world, news, music, humor, storytelling.
The list goes on, and you want a lot of the news and information coming to you each and every day. Make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 with your gift of the amount that's right for you.
And win eight more people call, just eight more people call over the next, 25, 30 minutes, we will meet our goal. We are listener powered, and that's why it's your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That is so important.
How about the lovely 2022 WPR t-shirt? It's USA made, printed right here in Wisconsin. Give $12 a month or more. It's yours at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552 and ask for your t-shirt.
And if you've given, thank you so much. Your gift right now is so important. WPR.org is the way to do it, or call 888-202-2552. Thank you.
Now, there was a headline this week in Project Syndicate caught my attention. Can the Olympics prevent war? It's by a member of the British House of Lords explaining how countries treat the Olympics as a symbol of national strength, not peace, and that medal tallies are a proxy for showing the success of political and economic systems, and this could fuel a state-sponsored doping program. So what do you think? Are the Olympics a tool? Can they bring peace? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. NYU Tisch Institute for Global Sport, clinical professor Lee Eagle with us. So, Lee, let's look at doping and centered on the 15-year-old Russian figure skater Kamila Valieva at the center of this. Can you basically summarize where we're at with this issue?
Oh, my gosh. We are in a few different places with it. The kind of short version is that there's a 15-year-old figure skater from Russia who took a doping test around Christmas, and the results came back once the Olympics started. Turned out that she tested positive for a heart medication that is a banned substance. It's not one that a 15-year-old would be taking anyway. And she's continuing to skate. What happened was sort of within that is the positive test came back. Russia's anti-doping agency at first suspended her, then lifted the suspension. That led the World Anti-Doping Agency and the International Olympic Committee to appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which basically determined that the skater could skate in the event that she participates in. One of the other interesting wrinkles is because of her age, she's considered a protected person under anti-doping rules. And so any sanctions and really the focus of things kind of turns off of her and turns onto her coaches and other members of what would be her entourage they'd be the ones who are focused of investigation.
So she would be assessed under different standards of evidence, and the probe would look more about the people around her. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. In a way, it's kind of a version of considering her a minor. You know, equivalent to, you know, whether a crime's been committed is sort of a different story, but you know, in sort of every day, this is someone who is considered a minor. And so the rules are, and the focus of investigation is a little bit different. It sort of considers her as someone who would have been under kind of undue influence of adults. And, you know, in effect, if somebody from the coaching staff or the extended entourage or someone else in the system said, you know, you should be you need to be taking these performance enhancing drugs, at 15 years old, she's not really in a position to say, I'm not going to do that. And so that's why the focus would turn to the adults in the room.
So the World Anti-Doping Agency, as you said, and the Olympic committee, they are angry. They question the logic and the commitment to fairness. Do their challenges mean anything? Who has the power?
The International Olympic Committee, I think there's a lot that rests there. It's worth spending some time sort of focusing there and in that long sort of stretch of all these twists and turns I was getting to, really sort of leads to that road. There's a lot here, certainly about Russia. There's plenty about China and the Olympics, the United States, all these. But really, this is the International Olympic Committee. And there are a lot of organizations involved. You could hear that in what I was trying to sort of download earlier. And again, there are more to go on. But this is really a story about the International Olympic Committee, its structure, its systems, the way it makes decisions. And by the way, decisions it's made in the not too distant past that are now bearing out. Here at the games, and it certainly extends to things like there won't be a medal ceremony for the events.
I was going to just say that too, and you know, that kind of robs all skaters of having that Olympic moment on the medal stand.
You said it. It absolutely does. And there, you know, imagine even for those of us who wouldn't make it to the Olympic Games. As a participant, as an athlete,
how that would feel.
You can imagine the glory of standing on the medal stand, having worked so hard to get there, and for these reasons.
We have to pause right there with Lee Eagle, and we'll continue this on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we explore the Olympics at the crosshairs of multiple political and health crises, human rights violations, the COVID pandemic, doping, as we've been talking about, and what it all means to the five rings. Now let's get a check on our winter member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Molly Stentz, and we're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
Listener support makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs you count on, and that's why it's your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That is so important.
And we've really seen a lot of great forward progress this hour. We're looking for four more pledges in the door here to stay on track. Very goal-minded here at WPR. Every hour, every goal, these hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. So make your donation now. Be one of the four at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, that is so close. Four people. We can totally do this. You know, listening to this interview where we're digging into the Olympics and its global significance, how is the sports world going to handle doping? What does this event say about China's role in the world? Big questions here. We're diving beneath the headlines, and that's what you can count on from the morning show.
WPR is listener supported, and it means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many, many topics that you join us for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And if you're wondering, what's a good amount? Well, you know, think about what you spend money on each day. Is that coffee? Is that takeout, you know, that adds up. It's easy to spend things that are part of your routine.
And Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your routine. It's your news source. It's your conversation starter. It's your place to learn, to ask questions. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I would say that if you really enjoy public radio and you listen to it even occasionally, if it does something to enlighten you on a certain point of view, then that is value. It's valuable. But nothing in life that is of value is truly free. Being a sustaining member, even if you just donate a small amount each month, you know, what it would cost you for a cup of coffee is really, really worth it if you believe in what they're doing. And I do. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on each day. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Molly Stentz, and it's your support today of WPR that keeps all of these programs you enjoy going strong. So whether your contribution is set at $10 a month, whether you set it at $100 a month, we appreciate and we absolutely count on your gift.
And you know, here's another way to think about it. A $10 a month contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio works out to just 33 cents a day. What a deal.
That is a great value. So make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll get a whole lot in return.
We've got, 20 minutes left this hour and just looking for 4 people to join in. So close. Will that be you? You are the one who makes WPR possible when you give. You make it happen. WPR.org. You can call us 888-202-2552.
And support the programs you value, and you get to show off your WPR pride when you ask for the 2022 WPR t-shirt. Gift $12 a month or more right now. Be one of the 4 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. Don't delay. You can do it right now. It's so easy to set up. Just takes a few minutes. You make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You choose. You can do it safely, securely online, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you can provide reliable support for the programs you love.
Shout out to Julie in Stevens Point, who says WPR is on in our house every morning and every evening. We love that our young kiddos can also listen and we can spark meaningful conversations. Julie, thank you so much. Your gift is powerful at WPR.org, and thanks. Now to global sport. According to Statista, the Winter Olympics is estimated to exceed $38.5 billion, that's in U.S. dollars, of which the majority was spent on infrastructure and a driverless bullet train connecting venues. Financially speaking, does it make sense for a city to host the Olympics? Can you measure prestige and national pride in dollars and cents? 800-642-1234. Conversation right here. Lee Eagle is at NYU's Tisch Institute for Global Sport. Stays with us. Let's bring on a caller. Marcus is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus. You'd like to add your thoughts on banned substances. Is that right?
Yes. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
So I have 2 points. First, I have a question for your guest. What is his thoughts about just taking and making everything legal, and however an athlete can put out their best performance, just let them do it, and then it stops all this having to run around with the testing? The second part is to all the people who have donated and make donations. I just want to say thank you. I have 5 children, and so I can't always donate the way that I'd like to, but I humbly ask those out there who can to please give generously. Please and thank you.
Oh, Marcus, thank you. And thank you for being such a great listener and contributor to these programs. Throwing it back to you, Lee, what about making, just opening it up, letting athletes do what they may as they go out and compete, and doing away with the doping program?
Yeah, well, thanks to Marcus for that thought and question. Saturday Night Live, a bunch of years ago, had a skit called the All Drug Olympics, which basically was a Saturday Night Live version of exactly what Marcus was asking about and describing. So for a humorous look at it, go to YouTube and take a look. The serious side of it is that that question really gets at the heart of what we all know and love about sport and this tension we have with performance-enhancing drugs. There are plenty of arguments out there to just sort of open the floodgates, let athletes take performance-enhancing drugs and just see what happens and all the consequences of it. I think the issue is, and this goes for any sport that's dealing with performance-enhancing drug issues, is, when we watch something like the Olympics or any sport, there's a sense that we all have some connection to it. We all, even if those of us who aren't participating in that competition have ever done anything like it, you can kind of imagine what it must be like to be a part of it, mm-hmm. and or how great it is, a human performance. And what performance-enhancing drugs do is really cut away at that. They cut away at this idea of sort of pure human achievement. And so throwing the floodgates open and letting performance-enhancing drugs into athletic competitions, whether it's the Olympics or something closer to home, it might be interesting for a little while to see what people could do. But I think we have the evidence that after not too long, people tend to start tuning out. They look at it as not even unfair. It's uninteresting.
Well, that's interesting. It just reminds me, too, of just how expansive the testing program is. Years ago, had interviewed a weightlifter who said, the testing people could knock on my door any day, any morning. And I said, here in this tiny little town in Louisiana, they're going to come to your door? And he said, oh, yes, and they have. It just reminded me that this is across the world. It is such an expansive thing to do.
Oh, it is. And if you are an athlete who is under a testing regimen, they will find you. There are stories of athletes being in the most obscure places, and because they have to file with the authorities where they're headed because somebody needs to get to them for random testing, they will find you, and it is incredibly extensive on a national level and on an international level.
Let's look at these diplomatic sanctions, the diplomatic piece here, the boycott. And does the U.S. boycott mean anything for U.S. athletes at these Olympics?
So there's a diplomatic boycott, mostly elected officials not attending these games in China, though the U.S. has clearly sent an athletes delegation to compete in the games, to participate in the games. I think on its face in the short term, a diplomatic boycott probably doesn't look like much. No one, sorry to say, is really going to miss elected officials not attending the Olympic Games. I think most people are okay with that and might even, they'll either support it or they won't like it. They'll fall somewhere in the middle, but the games will go on. It certainly means more at a political level in the political spheres and between nation states. There are political signals going back and forth on that level. The tough thing to really think through on that one is in the long term, what does it mean? So when we look 25 years down the line, what will a diplomatic boycott mean? There will be so many changes that will have gone on in the world by then, but we need that time to really understand whether the decision that was made today to invoke a diplomatic boycott really means anything, or if it's just sort of a blip in the scheme of history.
I want to toss it your way, just the sheer cost of putting on the Olympics for a host city, tens of billions of dollars, and whether that is feasible for cities in this day and age, and what has to change there.
The cost of an Olympic Games is almost unlike any other event. It's certainly not like NFL in your backyard, or NHL, NBA, WNBA.
Or a Bucks championship.
That's right. Which we can get to. Let us not forget. And we'll get to the Packers too, hopefully.
Oh, dear.
Not too far down the road. But an Olympics is a festival. So it's beyond a sports mega event like a Super Bowl would be, or even a WrestleMania from WWE. The costs are so far beyond that. And what's, again, here you have a short-term, long-term sort of discussion, where there are examples of cities that have done really well with it. Barcelona, which hosted the Summer Games in 1992, really came back as a world-class city because of hosting the games. The games were really what helped kick off an enormous amount of national investment and international tourism that Barcelona hadn't experienced for a very long time. Then there are, other sides of the examples, like Montreal hosting the Summer Games in 1976 and not getting out from under the debt of it for about 30, even more years. So there's a lot in there, tough to say. They're like any infrastructure project. I mean, take away the sports for a moment. This is a big infrastructure project. It's sports-led infrastructure. And like anyone of any size, the parts that are done well and with the right objectives do have a positive impact, or can have a positive impact for those cities and the communities. And the parts that aren't done with the right objectives in place, which can mean a lot of things, could be a real problem for the city and community.
And you can really drive that home, on that local level. I mean, you've looked at how the Milwaukee Bucks winning the NBA championship, how that can impact the city of Milwaukee and just the sheer value of that to the city. What do you see there?
Yeah, you've got this great partnership with the United States Conference of Mayors to look at things, all things sports and cities, from youth up to the pros. And certainly we've seen a lot of action in Milwaukee. It's exciting to have an NBA championship in the city. For people who are supporters, it seems to be no question about that kind of value. For people who are more naysayers and say, sports doesn't really do anything, please take one look at how many people turn out. I would hope in COVID times, with COVID safety in place, but my goodness, there's a sports championship for a city. If you want community pride, you just need to look at one image of how many people turn out for it. In Milwaukee, what's interesting there is the ownership group and the arena are really cutting edge. So much was done there and is being done there with the community in mind and its sports-led development. So in the past, by the way, it also helps to have one of the marquee players coming from an international community. So there's, all the right things really line up. It's not easy work to do it, but this is what you've got in Milwaukee is really an example of sport-led development done right. It sits well for things economically, from an infrastructure perspective, socially, from a branding perspective, not only for the franchise but for the city. And stadiums and arenas, again, when done right and when used the right way, are much more than what they used to be. They're not just the place where the home team plays and then that's it. And they certainly go beyond concerts and entertainment events. The pandemic was an unfortunate but great example of that. The amount of usage that that stadiums and arenas got from you know, personal protective equipment distribution to vaccinations and on and on.
They took on a new life. Yes.
They really did during the pandemic, and even things like high school graduations. Hmm. You know, they really do a lot more for a community than most people give them credit for.
Lee, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting me in on the conversation today.
Lee Eagle is a clinical professor at New York University's Tisch Institute for Global Sport, contributor to Forbes, where he writes about aspects of sports and sports business. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show, and it is our winter membership drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, here with Molly Stentz. You rely on the Ideas Network for these informative, interesting discussions, and we rely on you to keep programs like The Morning Show going strong.
Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. It's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference. You can do that online, WPR.org. Or call us 888-202-2552.
5 minutes left this hour. Refresh of our leaderboard. And ta-da, we are two over our goals. So this is fabulous news. And exceeding the goal feels really, really good this hour. So thank you so much. Still time to get in and continue this momentum forward. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, this morning we've been talking about the Olympics. It's important on the political relationships among nations, the staggering cost of it all, and who benefits. You know, we bring you not just the headlines, but the stories behind the news. This is what you count on from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported, and it means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the wide variety of topics that you join us for every day possible, and you share in that experience. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And hey, show off your pride. We have this cool, snazzy new t-shirt this year. It's printed right here in Wisconsin. You can see it online at WPR.org. Retro graphics, light blue. It's got sun. It's got pine trees. It's got a shout out to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can show off your pride if you give $12 a month or more. You can do that online. Sign up, WPR.org, or call us, 888-202-2552.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
Aha, throwing it down. New York, yeah, nah. Give it WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Molly Stentz. Listener support, it is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on, and it's why your support during this winter member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
We are down to the last 2 minutes of the program this morning, and we would love to have you join us. And a big shout out to everyone who has joined us. Thank you. A shout out to Marcus, who called in. You can call in the last minute of the show. Make your gifts to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day.
WPR programs are listener powered, and it means that your donation at this very moment makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, we want to thank you so much. Today could be the day that you increase your support by $5 or $10 a month, whatever you choose. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A shout out to Susan in Hudson, who says, I love Wisconsin Public Radio, exclamation mark. Patricia in Amherst Junction says, yours is the first voice of our mornings, always trusted, always welcome. Thanks for all you do. Susan and Patricia, thank you so much for your kind words, for listening, for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Join Susan, join Patricia, your gift right now, so important, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.